May your broadband speed never waver. May your laptop stand the pace. May the mighty bites of cyberspace never lose their digi-pace. But of all the things we wish for thee, the truest of them all is to share the fun and reap the joy of the midweek drive through all.
Don't feel myself. It's so easy to be overwhelmed by impossible standards we place upon ourselves. I like to be alone, but I know I can't do that too long, 'cause the merry-go-round comes to life with the echoes and threads, the tangling mess of that half-lived time. And mumbling, I wouldn't do it again. I've been to nowhere, so I understand how life falls apart in your hands. And the song in my breath died in my chest and came out as a sigh.
Soundtrack to the life we left behind. It carries with us so many notions of nostalgia, big sky, big Celtic rock, all manner of wondrous things. And so we're absolutely over the moon to welcome the singer behind that genius piece of work. It's the awesome Willie Campbell. How are you, Willie?
I'm very well, thank you. And what a magnificent introduction that was. Thank you so much.
It's only calling it as we see them. And you're based up in the Isle of Lewis, and it has to be said that proving that the global internet is working, we're connecting Lewis with Norwich, England, and Rebecca Bond with Jessica Burtis in North Carolina, USA, and myself somewhere in betwixt all areas within that. I'm currently based in Teesside, but there we are. Willie, share with us. I mean, again, I mentioned Celtic rock, but I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm thinking of. Vistas, I'm thinking big country, I'm thinking all sorts of other areas. It's anthemic.
Well, I guess I was sort of driving at that. I've always liked songs that open with something strong, and it doesn't always have to be a lyric. It can just be a chant or a kind of sound that catches your attention. So I sort of wrote it with hopefully that on that lovely day when we all get to play festivals again, that I could get people participating and have them sing it back to me. So it seemed like a good start for a sort of positive song.
I could certainly see that happening. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing like actually working through that process. I mean, just describe where you are at present, because I suspect maybe even Rebecca and Jessica aren't familiar with the Isle of Lewis. I mean, you're way up there, aren't you?
Yeah, we're on the northwest coast of Scotland. It's about 2.5 hours on a ferry from here to the mainland. And it's a beautiful kind of battered, windswept massive rock on the northwest coast of Scotland, and it's very beautiful. There's a beach in my village that's 1.6 miles long, and it's kind of stunning. I know I'm biased, but it is beautiful. And you know, there's limitations to living here, but the good points far outweigh those. You know, sometimes we get cut off and can't leave the island if the weather's particularly nasty, but it's a beautiful part of the world. Very lucky.
And surely, Willie, over the last year, with respect to the pandemic and everything, this has been ideal. I mean, you know, you've been in the ideal isolation bubble, surely.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's this year has been a lot more tough for people in cities. I think, you know, when I think I've got two kids and we're married in a wee bungalow. And when I think about people having a family in places like Glasgow, where I used to live for nearly 10 years, that experience must have been extremely tough. So even when we were in lockdown, we were able to go and walk to the beach and get as much fresh air as we could get. Very different experience. Yeah, quite absolutely. Quite fortunate.
Anyway, let's move on. Rebecca, big question: is Willie's music going to land on your playlist? That's the question that obviously the world is waiting for.
It definitely will. I always mention how all my favorites that I get to discover on this show always make it to my playlist, and you've actually made it to my summer playlist, which I'm really excited to be blasting out of my car when we're finally allowed to, you know, go to festivals, beer gardens. You know, I'm glad you mentioned festivals, because it was the first thing that came to my mind when I listened to it, and I can picture just, you know, everything being okay again and with your friends. And so yeah, it has a really nice summery and uplifting vibe to it, which I love.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much indeed.
We've also been joined by Chloe Rose. Chloe, have you had a chance as yet to listen to Willie's awesome soundtrack to The Life We Left Behind?
I have indeed. I've been singing along to it. Whoa. And it's the sort of song that you can really sway. That's it. Oh, I love it, Alex. It's the sort of song you can really sway to. It's catchy as well. I love it. The way it opens, it just opens so strong as well. And it's just got a real good feel and feel good vibe to it. I absolutely love it. It's awesome. So keep smashing it.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
As ever, it's critical to find out what our North American correspondent in North Carolina thinks about the whole thing, whether it's going to be sweet tea or boiled peanuts. I say that again, because I think actually we found here, Willie, the equivalent to haggis in terms of like it or loathe it. Sweet tea and boiled peanuts could well be the haggis of North Carolina. More, of course, from Jessica Burtis. What did you make of this particular track, Jess?
I really like it. I agree with Chloe that it's like from the start it really grabs you, and I think it's so heartwarming and nostalgic. It is that kind of song where it's like if you listen to it, it'll put you in a better mood than even when you started listening. And I think it's something that everyone can just enjoy. It's a very just happy kind of vibe to it.
Thanks a million.
So it's a win-win.
I'm so surprised you all liked it. Wow.
I was very tempted to actually go and say, would it be a case of not Willie, but Or Woolly? But that was a reference which you probably might not even get, really, back to the Daily Mail character of Or Woolly. But still, DC Thompson appreciated that.
I love those albums. I love the Brunes as well.
Oh, the Brooms and Or Woolly. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you're one of, obviously, the many respected voices and one of the finest songwriters in the country. So what's the secret? You know, what's the secret of being one of Scotland's finest songwriters, Willie? Because we need to know.
Well, I think that's pushing it a wee bit, to be honest. Finest songwriters, there's some heavy hitters in Scotland. But no, I think it's just I reached a certain age where I understood that you couldn't wait around to feel inspired, and a lot of it is grafting and chipping away and just getting better and repetition. It's the same as anything, just doing something over and over again. And my focus has always been on choruses because of my influences were 60s and Motown and old style country, and they're very chorus heavy forms of songwriting. So with that in mind, I went to Nashville a few times for writing sessions, and that sort of stuck in my head, that sort of discipline that those guys have. Some people are a bit funny about that form of songwriting, but I've got real admiration for it because it's very condensed, and it's just been experience over the years. I mean, I couldn't have written the songs that I'm writing now when I was 17 or 18, when arguably more people were interested in them, but now I've got a lot more satisfaction out of them, and they definitely feel better put together anyway.
And I mean, I cited the big country feel because, I mean, that was something which immediately stuck to my mind. I suspect that neither... Chloe, are you familiar with big country?
I am indeed. Wow. But I definitely agree with that as well. And it had that country vibe to it, the song itself. I felt like I could imagine driving down a country lane with that song on as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. I sort of feel like I've immersed myself in that kind of music so much you know, in my 20s, that it seeps into everything I do these days, just a wee tinge of it anyway.
Rebecca, over to you.
Yeah, so we've all mentioned how it really uplifted us and, you know, it's real feel-good music. Is that why you make music, or is it pure enjoyment? Is it for other people? I know it's a big question, but why do you make music and where did that start?
I don't really have an original sounding answer to it, but it's very much, for me, you know, a lot, the word catharsis gets used a lot with songwriting, but I do sort of feel that way about it. And I feel if nobody was listening, I would still have a jotter full of songs every year. And it sort of keeps my brain right in a way. It's a bit like, it's just part of my life now, and I would find it impossibly, you know, be impossible for me to shake it entirely. But it makes me feel good. I love performing them as well. Even if it's to a handful of people or, you know, a festival, I get serious enjoyment out of it.
Very impressed by the fact, again, although this is radio, we are using the medium of Zoom, and like all great musicians, you have a guitar in the background as well, which is fantastic. Is that your favourite guitar, or is that just one of many?
I do have loads of guitars, and some of them are absolute planks, but this is one of my favourite ones. It's a Gibson, an old Gibson that somebody sold me for a really amazing, I got a really amazing deal because he knew it was going to get serious use. So yeah, I love it. But this is actually where I record all my music. It's like my work station, really. So that's why there's stuff like that in the background.
The bonus of this, Willie, is we can do the interview. We can actually be part of the studio. You don't have to get on the flight and journey down to the studio. So it's all good, you know. COVID bonus. And speaking of which,
it's all good.
How has the Isle of Lewis actually been coping with the pandemic? I mean, obviously, we talked a couple of bits and pieces, but have you had many cases there? What's the situation been?
Well, we were doing really well, but just when that strain that came, that was more
Brazilian.
What's the word? Yeah, Brazilian. Yeah, we got a wee
infectious,
blast of that.
Contagious.
Yeah, contagious. That's the word. We got a wee run of it there, and but the local NHS have been amazing up here, and they seem to get on top of it mega quickly, and they were very good with track and trace, and the vaccine rollout's just been really fast here. In fact, I'm getting mine tomorrow, and I'm 42, and I know there's a lot of people, you know, older than that still waiting on the mainland. So there's been benefits to being up here, but the downside is if we had a really awful outbreak, we'd have been seriously overwhelmed because, you know, that our infrastructure just couldn't have coped with it, really. Yeah, you know, smaller islands like Barra especially, yeah, could have been really bad.
You're not saying it's like the Wicker Man. I mean, you're not going to actually have pagan sacrifices there, surely. I mean, that's not going to occur.
No, it depends if you come up here in a motorhome, then we'll probably consider sacrificing you.
Well, that's understandable. I can go with that. You know, you've got to have a sort of a bounce on it. Jessica, any
I'm joking. From... Everyone's welcome.
Don't worry. We were speaking to another Scottish singer songwriter from Glasgow, a recent sort of production. He was sort of panicking because he thought he was against Americans. Of course he wasn't. Who could be? You know, when Jessica's there, threatening to actually sort of nuke them straight away. Jessica, any thoughts from yourself?
I actually am very curious. Did you always see yourself doing music, or is it kind of like something that became a hobby?
Well, my dad always used to play really good 60s compilations in the car when I was a wee boy, and he loved Status Quo. I don't know how big Status Quo were in America, but they were massive over here. And I loved my dad's music, and it's not like he was into the Beatles or the Stones. He just had awesome 60s compilations, and that influenced me. But when I got into REM at like 12 years old or 13, it was a total game changer for me, and I just felt really drawn to a kind of different life, I suppose, a creative life. And I left the Isle of Lewis at 15 to go to college and join bands almost immediately, and came back to Lewis 10 years after that. So yeah, I have always kind of felt drawn to it, but REM were the band that really led me astray, I think.
Now, was that because you were sleepwalking? Was it because you were night swimming? Was it because everybody hurts? What was the reason for the REM sort of challenge?
All of the above. I don't know. It was just really appealing. I didn't understand what he was saying, but there was something, there was a longing in it that I sort of identified with, and I couldn't quite understand why. Plus, Peter Buck, the guitarist, is playing this simple but absolutely brilliant, you know, and I could sort of join the dots to some of his guitar parts. That was good.
Any particular favorite REM numbers that you'd like to sort of say that's the one that kind of really did it for me?
Near Wild Heaven, actually, on Out of Time. It's not really that, it wasn't one of their more successful songs, but it's just got a really amazing vibe to it, a really great feel and lovely harmonies.
Something has gone wrong.
clearly New Clouds in Motion, your own album, an album of Americana-influenced songs from the Western Isles of Scotland. Any particular moments there that come out of New Clouds in Motion that in essence sort of you think, actually, this was the moment when you really felt magic was there? You had all the ducks in the row and this was a really magical thing. Or was it the case of every single track?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't really like that. There's a song called some of that, what, you know, some of it came easily, some of it didn't. But I think until I got home studio, I always made albums on a really tight budget. So I would record the vocals live as we were performing and just have one listen and think, right, that'll do. We've got to move on to the next song. But there's a track called Going Through the Motions that I really felt like I'd achieved something personally with it as lyrically and as a mix. You know, I was just really happy with it, but it seemed to pass loads of people by and didn't like it that much. But for me, it was that sort of special moment on the album.
Chloe, any thoughts from yourself in terms of as a young singer-songwriter going through these whole processes, not going through the motions, anything but any thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Willie?
Yeah, I found interesting what you just said about sometimes, you know, you can write a song that you're really pleased with and you think this is awesome and then you put it out there. And sometimes it's the other songs that people like more than your actual own favourite. But yeah, I just wanted to ask where does your inspiration come from with your songwriting, with your lyrics? Do you start with something that's personal to you, like your own personal experience, or do you write with an idea or a theme in mind? I'm just interested to know your process with that.
I think I'm just I've got myself to a point where I don't feel fixed to one particular approach. And I think that leaves me sort of flexible, because I a couple of years ago I was commissioned to write songs on particular topics related to the life of the islands, the war experience, the clearances. So that sort of forced me to sort of do some research and write after having done research. So that's another method that is open to me now. But a lot of the time, it's my path, just having lived a bit of a life is the kind of the key factor. You need to have something to draw from, and I'm sure you do. Everyone does. Everyone has their own way of looking at the world that's unique. So yeah, a lot of the time it's personal, and sometimes it's being tuned into conversations, just day-to-day conversations. People come out with really beautiful, wee profound things and they don't realise they've said them. And I nick stuff like that all the time and turn them into songs. So it's just to always be tuned into who you're speaking to as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
As the Herald would say, Campbell rises above all other references and stakes his claim to being one of the country's truly great pop songwriters. So it's, oh, really? Rebecca, back to you.
You mentioned earlier when I asked why you make music that it was, you know, something you're passionate about and that you just enjoy to do and, you know, provide an audience with that experience. With regards to to live audiences and things like that, is that something you've missed and that you're keen to get back to as soon as possible?
Some of the gigs I am really missing and I'm really keen to get back to, but the reality I came from a background in the 90s of having a nice record deal that I didn't really appreciate, and I had a wage and all of these opportunities that was like, it's going to be like this forever. Let's, you know, let's just have a party kind of thing. Now I've got a very different point of view. But I just like to sort of keep myself focused and remember that some of it is graft, some of it's slog. Some of my gigs aren't very glamorous. They're in hotels, they're in bars, they're in places that'll pay me money so I can cover my
bills. But they're glamorous because you're there, Willie, surely. You make the glamour. You add the glamour because you're physically there.
I don't know. I think singing Wonderwall to like six drunks and a dog sometimes isn't quite what I'd hoped.
But for them, Willie, you are their Wonderwall. That's the whole thing. Because after all, you're their Wonderwall. Even the dog.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. But I mean, in saying that, I can have really bad nights when I'm struggling, but then I have a lovely wee concert in a theatre or something, and it sort of balances out. You have to do what you have to do if you want to make a living in music these days. It's just fact of life. It's not the way it used to be.
You speak as though it's like negative though, but it's been really well received. Like even just a small group here, all of us absolutely love it and can't sing your praises enough. So I think, you know, even if it was just
and we're not drunk
people,
either, you know.
No, exactly. So I think even to if it was performing to one person or 1,000, I think you could mean a lot to that one person. Your music could change someone's life. So I think that's what's really important about making music. It's not necessarily the amount of people or the type of people. It's how music is received by an individual, and we've all received it fantastically.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for saying that. And you know, sometimes even some of these gigs where I'm playing covers for 3 hours, I'll play a country song and it'll really connect with somebody and they'll come up and give me a hug or something. You know, it's sort of those kinds of gigs do have their value as well, but sometimes they can be hard work, you know, that's the truth of it. But thank you so much for the positive vibes on the song.
I'm just kind of blown away actually. Oh no, it's important to remember, because I think, you know, you can be your own worst critic sometimes. So sometimes that's helpful, sometimes it could be, you know, too negative. So don't be hard on yourself, because we were absolutely
thank you. And I think it's a Scottish trait actually, and with the islands, yeah, we can be a bit down on ourselves.
See, this is the problem with Scotland. Whenever they actually enter a final competition, whether it's the World Cup or anything else, they get so far. It's almost that you go back to 1978 and Ally McLeod, and it all goes terribly horrendously. Got to maintain that positivity. Take the Chloe Rose positivity. I mean, Chloe, you must have had wedding gigs where you've actually been performing to people and you just thought, what the heck am I doing here? But they've appreciated it.
I have, and I've thought there's times where I've thought, gosh, shall I just give up? But you can't. You've got to keep going. Honestly, your music is awesome. You're so talented. Never give up. You love it, and it's something you're passionate about. Keep going. And there's things you've already achieved. You know, that's incredible. So just anything negative, just rub it off your back, get it off your shoulders, let it go and keep going. That's what I say.
Yeah,
it's
too late now. I've chosen this path, and
that's
what am I going to do? Retrain as a welder or something? It's not likely, really. I don't think so.
No, you can't go back now. That's it. You're on this path.
Can't.
You keep going ahead.
I can't.
You're listening
now, yeah,
to the Midweek Drive, giving therapy to a famous songwriter up in Scotland. It's what we're about. Next week, who knows where we'll be going? Jessica, anything else you'd like to add?
I want to know, after this reassurance, because you are amazing and creative people, I think, have a tendency to doubt their own creativity. And that's really sad, because it's really fantastic what you do. So I'm curious about what your favorite part of writing music is, like what you really find most rewarding about it.
I think there's a certain moment when you're writing a song, and, you know, I write songs that are sort of serviceable and okay, but then occasionally you'll be in the middle of one and you know it's kind of good, and I love that feeling, that sort of little flush of excitement, and you think, wow, this is just, it's just rewarding, it's just a lovely feeling, and you know you've created something that means something to you, and the hope is that it'll connect with somebody else, and it's sort of addictive, that I think, that striving to sort of achieve something. And I haven't lost it. You know, I'm in my 40s now, and I still feel sort of hungry for that part of it. So it's great.
Do you remember like the first time you ever kind of experienced that? And you were like, oh, this is like, it's magic. This is what like living is.
I sort of do actually. Yeah, I think I was 17 and I'd been in Glasgow a couple of years, and I was in a band with a bunch of guys that were older than me and more experienced. And we had a wee bit of label interest, and I sort of had this wee blast of confidence, and I was writing a lot of songs, and I had a song called and I just remember feeling, wow, this is like better than I am, and it's a nice feeling, you know. Yeah, so about 17, I reckon.
Again, those interesting notes that I actually made when we're 17. Extraordinary. Gaelic, it's obviously one of those key aspects in terms of linguistics and so on. Is that something else you're looking to develop further, Willie, in terms of the approach that you take for a multilinguicity and, of course, keeping the language alive?
Yeah, I did. I actually did an album of original Gaelic songs in 2014. It's on Spotify and all the usual places. It's called Dalma. And it basically is country rock / teenage fan club sounding music, except all the songs are in Gaelic. So I love singing in Gaelic. I'm a sort of lapsed native speaker, but my wee boy is in a Gaelic medium school, which means immersion. So as soon as he walks in the door of a school in the morning, all he speaks is Gaelic. So there's big steps being taken to keep the language alive and the culture healthy. So I'm all for it.
You realise it's just to actually ensure that your son has no way of actually understanding what Boris Johnson is doing with the country. But that's a political point. We won't go there, you know.
Yeah, let's move swiftly on.
I think so. People can actually access you, obviously, by going to williecampbell.co.uk. Are there any other mechanisms that you would recommend people should actually be aware of in terms of following you and so on?
Yeah, Facebook. I'm constantly, my personal profile actually on Facebook, I'm always sort of posting new bits of music, and sometimes I'll write a song and post it that day just for a laugh. So I'm sort of open to anybody just joining me there. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter and all the usual places as well.
Fantastic. Well, we've got two final critical questions for you, and I think we'll have Chloe ask one, and then I think we'll have Rebecca ask the other one. So we'll hold fire on Jessica for the present. But Chloe, would you like to put the first question to your fellow singer-songwriter from the Celtic fields of Lewis in Scotland, not to be, of course, confused with those wonderful twins who actually talked about 500 miles and the other sort of et cetera. I'm not going to go down that route at all. Chloe, first question from yourself, please.
Yeah, so it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Have you had a reasonably fab Zoomer?
Have I what, sorry?
A reasonably fab Zoomer, so a Zoom call. Have you enjoyed the interview?
I've really enjoyed this, yeah.
It must be my accent.
50% more because you guys seem to like the song so much. So that was a good start, actually. We were off to a good start there. But it's been lovely talking to you all. It really has.
Can we welcome you back in the near future at any point then?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I'm putting another single out on 6th of May, and then my album's out in July or August, I think. I haven't quite decided yet, but yeah, anytime.
Fantastic. Well, we'd love to welcome you back.
Very much so. Jessica, of course, the crucial thing, we mentioned it earlier in the piece, Sweet Tea, Willie. Are you familiar with Sweet Tea?
Yeah, I am. I had it when I was over in Nashville, I think. Yeah,
yes,
I'm sure I would. They had a jug full of it in the fridge.
Oh, yeah, it's big in Tennessee too. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. it was really nice, actually.
Yes.
Very nice, yeah.
Oh, this is the step-by-step approach Jessica actually has to ensuring that the world actually sort of partakes of Sweet Tea. Well, the next critical thing, I'm not sure whether this has crossed over to Nashville as well, and certainly not to Lewis, whether with or without the Proclaimers, but peanuts, is it peanuts or just boiled peanuts?
Boiled peanuts.
Boiled peanuts.
I've never had boiled peanuts.
Yeah.
I've never had boiled peanuts.
Next it was going time. So well until then, really, but never
next
mind. Jessica, would you actually just outline once again what is a boiled peanut so that maybe, you know, come next Hogmanay, Willie could actually sort of show tremendous cultural verve here by introducing to the haggis the boiled peanuts.
It's so hard to describe. They're like the whole peanut and it's like made with like lots of salt. And so when you kind of like open them, they're very soft and they kind of like melt in your mouth. And it's like, it sounds very bizarre, but they're very good. And the way that you get the best ones is you'll see someone, this sounds bizarre. You see someone on the side of the road selling them. That's where the best ones are.
I'm thinking basically the next follow-up album, Willie, surely has to be Ode to a Boiled Peanut while smelling it on the road. You know, that's got to work somewhere.
Sweet Tea and creativity. Time for more Jessica Burtis questions on the Midweek Drive.
You know what they call sweet tea in the South?
What's that?
Tea.
Well, as a Scotsman, we're keen on salty snacks, so that sounds right up my street, actually. Yeah.
Yes. Next time
we're
in Tennessee,
give it a whirl. Yeah.
Musician extraordinaire, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. I think we're going to try and dig out another classic number from your good self. And Going Through the Motion, is that the one you're looking for?
Yeah, I like that one.
Well, then we won't go through the motions. We'll actually press the button and go for it. Willie, we salute you. Take care. Jessica, Rebecca and Chloe, likewise. Good to see you guys. We'll see you again very soon.
Thank you.
On my mind, walking on icy beach sand, starlit and bright, crunching under my new shoes, bought by my wife. I must confess I've had doubts about my life, keep telling myself that there's honor and compromise, telling it to the moon like it was an agent of God. Do I look like half a person? 'Cause sometimes that's just how I feel. When I get sick, I feel that love so strong. Frailty and independence will one day come along. Dying in a strange place, wishing we could simply go home. I wish that I could burn this ring to my skin and tell a million people you changed the man that I've been. Safety and lightning and love are found in your arms. I hear possession is poison. Well, strictly, I don't think that's true. But I'm going through the motions today. My eyes shut tight to the one all around me. Going through the motions today. Admit that I pray, open and hopeless and earnest in varying degrees. You can laugh, you can say what you like, you keep Richard Dawkins, it'll take Jesus Christ to take away my burden of conscience and clear out my mind. So does that sound like a problem? Sure. But I'm gone.
much stress. Yes, a whole new challenge with respect to first world problems, you might well say, with 6 out of 10 people confessing that they regularly settle on watching something on television they don't want to view because they're bored of scrolling and debating. What should I watch? With 14% often giving up on their search completely. And to actually talk us through this particular challenge that we're faced with, obviously in the midst of lockdown and indeed probably post-lockdown environments, we're delighted to welcome technology psychologist Graham Jones. How are you, Graham?
I'm fine, Alex. That sigh suggests that you suffer from this in your household.
Well, I mean, it is that sort of notion where you think, where are we going to go with this? Although I think in my case, it's more a case of Zoom stress or Zoom fatigue. I don't know. Maybe one of those two things. Is it unfair and disingenuous to actually call this a first world problem? That really, you know, you're worried about search stress. People are losing their jobs. They're threatening all the sorts of things. And you're concerned about what TV program you're watching. Or is that just too harsh a line on the whole thing?
I think that's too harsh a line because your brain doesn't know what the stress is caused by. It doesn't know whether it's caused by some danger that's happening to you or whether it's caused by not being able to choose what to watch on TV tonight. All stress is stress to the brain. So it doesn't really matter where it comes from. It's stress is stress. And this survey from SkyQ is showing that quite a lot of people are getting stressed out by this endless scrolling and searching.
Well, I must admit, I do have a stress folder in my email scenario where I duly actually dump things and systems from various sort of folk who, when I feel that's it, that has to go into the stress folder, even when I've actually replied with it. It's not a kind of forget it, the system. It's just a stress folder. You can't necessarily do that with this, but the top 20 topics that British people search for online, book names in at number 20, and right at the top, yeah, keeping in line with the British scenario, it's the weather.
Well, what would you expect for people from Britain that to do anything other than searching for the weather? So, that's quite popular, but it's not just Brits. You know, around the world, you'll find that that's quite a popular thing. We need to plan our day and think about what to wear and all those kind of things. So it helps us organise ourselves.
I can instantly obviously say that word, which sounds a little bit like my Christian name, and automatically we get various bleeps. I mean, I'll say Alexa, bing, yeah, it goes. But in terms of the sort of system, SkyQ has actually got an equivalent way of actually working through this, because you can actually open up the words a bit like Open Sesame, what should I watch? And that might actually sort of help us with a SkyQ voice remotes.
Well, it does, because you just press the blue button on the front of your remote and say, what should I watch? And it will get you all kinds of suggestions based on what you've watched before, what's trending, what the new releases are. So you don't have to search anymore. It will just pop that up ready for you across everything that's available, the Sky, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney, and so on, BBC as well, so that you've got everything in one place easily accessible for you. And that alleviates your stress of scrolling around looking for things.
Now, you mentioned the fact that to the brain, it just recognises stress in that instance. And we know that one of the most challenging aspects of extreme stress is being paralysed by fear, that whole thing. So is there such a thing as search paralysis, or indeed choice paralysis, in terms of where you're so stressed out, you literally fuse to your sofa and you cannot move at all?
Yeah, well, it might seem like that you cannot move at all, but of course you can get up and do something else. But actually, people's brains do get befuddled by all the choice. And so we do get what's called decision paralysis or choice paralysis. And so what the survey showed was that 6 out of 10 people end up watching something they don't really want to watch because they're just, you know, stressed out by all the choice. And so it is really difficult when you've got so much choice to make a decision, which is why it's a good idea to limit the choice in some way. So you could decide what you want to watch in advance by saying, tonight I want to watch a thriller, or tonight I want to watch a crime drama. And then once you've made your mind up in that way, then when you go through whatever options you've got for searching for something, your mind is focused and doesn't get distracted by all the other things because they're not related to what you want to watch.
Questions are a burden for others and answers a prison for oneself was a strapline that came out of the 1960s television series The Prisoner. Have we reached that stage where basically what you're suggesting, Graham, is make a decision? It's important you make a decision, and that will help ease the search stress.
Yeah, one of the things we know about decision making generally is that if you make a decision quickly, you are more likely to be satisfied by the decision. So all those people who are spending hours and hours and hours scrolling through things end up dissatisfied, and they also end up arguing with their family. So a quarter of people in the SkyQ survey were saying that all of this kind of lack of decision making was leading to arguments in the home, and that increases stress as well. So actually making a decision is a really good thing to do.
Graham, as one of the world's premier internet psychologists, initially I thought, oh, does this mean we're going to have virtual holographic Graham Joneses popping up whenever we actually sort of find ourselves in keyboard stress, etc.? But that's another line. Were you at all surprised by this research, or is it something which you think, yeah? And have you actually suffered from choice paralysis or search stress yourself?
I think all of us have suffered from search stress in one way or another. And when it does happen to me, I realise that I should have focus my mind before I started doing the searching. So I will then give up for a while, get my mind into gear, and then do a more focused search for what I really need to look for. So I think it happens to everyone. And that's why, you know, I'm a great technology fan. So I'm a real fan of things like voice activated control systems that enable us to stop getting into the problems that lead to stress.
And some advice really for people who feel that fear of missing out, the classic FOMO, which again, obviously emerges every so often, or the fifth say that they fear missing out on something when they haven't seen the latest show. This presumably is one way of actually alleviating that and coping with it.
That's right. You will suffer much less from FOMO if you have a plan in advance, and then you don't get distracted by all the other things. And so if you are saying to your remote, what should I watch? Then it will come up with things that are geared to you and your preferences and your choices. And therefore, you'll not have that fear of missing out so much.
Clearly, in light of recent sort of major events, it's got to be the Little Princess on Disney Plus. I mean, you've got to see the tale of a princess who finds her voice, loses her voice. No, I won't go there. That's another interview, which also caused a lot of stress in another area entirely. Graham, where would you recommend people should actually go to find out further details about this phenomenal asset from Sky Plus?
I'd go to sky.com and press the SkyQ menu button.
I'd also put in a solid plug for grahamjones.co.uk, because I think that's pretty fine as well in terms of its overall line on life and all sorts of other bits and pieces. Graham, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
It's been fantastic. I was told in advance it was going to be fantastic with Alex, and it has been.
Wow, the stress. I can't cope with that. So can we look forward to maybe connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
You can indeed, of course.
Graham Jones, we salute you. Take care now.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Well, we approach another awards season with a certain amount of trepidation, perhaps, or a certain amount of interest. And we can put the Academy Awards, the BAFTAs, and all the rest of the bits and pieces to one side, because the British Takeaway Awards are coming around the corner. And in terms of actually voting for them and actually having, I'm sure, some interesting comments when we talk about the British Takeaway Awards, who better than, indeed, did somebody say, Fern McCann? We did. Fern McCann, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Marvellous. Now, again, this particular annual award, which is becoming more and more prestigious as the years go by, is quite significant because it kind of shows not only the trends that we have in terms of, do we like our pizzas? Do we like our kind of traditional approaches to the whole system? Or do we go for more exotic scenarios? So, I mean, were you surprised about how much takeaways have actually sort of impacted? I mean, clearly, even more so over the last 12 months with our general lives.
I think definitely, you know, takeaways has absolutely been part of many of our lives, and British Takeaway Awards have found out some really great research that 70% of Brits say that food has been more important in lifting spirits during lockdown. I think we're all, you know, we've all ordered the takeaway, especially during lockdown. I know with me, I've opened the Just Eat app and had a little browse to find perhaps some restaurants that I might, takeaway restaurants that I might not have ordered from before, and to experiment, try different cuisines. And it's a treat, isn't it? It's something to look forward to on a weekend, or perhaps you've got a special occasion, you order a takeaway, or perhaps you just can't really be bothered to cook one night, so you'll order from the app. But I love the awards. I've actually been to the British Takeaway Awards before, and it's the sixth year. And I think, like you said, it's a significant one, because with lockdown and lots of people have relied on ordering takeaways. So it's going to be a great chance to celebrate our local independent takeaway restaurants, and to really, you know, recognise them and vote for them if you wanted to.
Now, certainly from your own perspective, I mean, you're a mum, you're a TV presenter, you're coordinating all sorts of things, you're doing media days like today, you know, lots of things actually happening. How do you balance your lifestyle with, of course, takeaways? And, of course, that notion that really takeaways should be seen as not necessarily something we should rely on all the time. They're takeaway treats, really.
Well, I think, for me, a takeaway is either a treat, or it's for convenience. If I'm super, super busy and I just have not got the time to rustle something up in the kitchen, then I will, it's the convenience, isn't it? So it's, and depending on my mood, it's absolutely mood dependent. It will be the choice of what takeaway that I'll order. But that's the beauty, it's the convenience. And for some people, I mean, during the lockdown with NHS staff working night shifts, supermarkets are closed, so it's been available for them to order food in those unsociable hours. So it's not just for a treat, it's not just for convenience, it's for all different people working their busy lives.
And now, we mentioned obviously the Showbiz Awards, etc., and it's high time, Fern, you received some BAFTA nominations and indeed awards. If you haven't already done so, we need to start the campaign going. You need some awards from that point of view for the excellent work that you're putting together. But as far as the British Takeaway Awards are actually concerned, voting is already launched for that. People have pretty much got until the 25th of April, though, to actually cast their votes. So pretty much all to play for, I would have thought.
Absolutely. Now is the time to vote. You can head to thebtas.co.uk, and you know, it's a really great way to support those local independent traders in your community. And just to add that those people voting will be entered into a prize draw to win a takeaway every single month for a year with Just Eat. So there's something to play for as well.
You see, Fern, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, you know, as I say, if I was moved to break into song, I'd say, did somebody say Fern McCann? No, perhaps not. Move on to another sort of zone. In terms of your own particular favourite, so you said it's mood dependent. Is there anyone which you kind of think, well, you know, maybe child pressure actually sort of says, oh, go for that, mummy, go for that? Or do you actually sort of say, no, this is not a democracy, I will have the final say?
Well, I think in every household, the debate over what takeaway should be ordered is definitely happening. My daughter, thankfully, she's 3 1/3, so there isn't quite a I want this, I want that. Although she absolutely loves, if I was to say to her, what's your favourite meal? She goes, chicken nuggets and chips. And I'm like, babe, come on, we're not getting chicken nuggets and chips. But yeah, it's always my decision in the end. And it could be anything from Chinese to sushi to a pizza to Caribbean. There's just so much variety now.
Absolutely. And Fern, where can people go to once again to find out details about the Just Eat Awards and more?
So they can head to thebtas.co.uk, and voting is open now.
Brilliant. The British Takeaway Awards, of course. Fern, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with a good self. We've got two final questions for you. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
I have. I've loved it.
It's feedback. You see, just as you actually constantly with Just Eat, you're always saying, did it match your expectations? Did the food arrive on time, etc., etc.? So the next critical question is, will you come back again?
Absolutely. You have exceeded all of my expectations. I've loved chatting to you, and I will be back.
Fern McCann, TV presenter and personality extraordinaire. Huge thanks. Keep on keeping on and be well.
Thank you. Take care.